as we look at the 19th chapter, the 20th verse, in just a little bit of review, we find the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And we spent much time last week with that, looking at that, talking about the false prophets, talking about the beast, the Antichrist. And as we look and find them that were deceived, so often today when you talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus, they don't want to hear it, they don't believe it. And even though this time period that we're looking at here and now in Revelation is during the tribulation period, we have the same deceiver available and out there today deceiving multitudes. And so they hear something and they would rather believe a lie than they would to believe the truth. And so please that you today realize and recognize the need to go to the Word of God, as we have so many things going on, as the election is coming close. How can we know the right one to choose? How can we do that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. So search it out and trust the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you, and He will do that. Today, the false teachers, the false prophets that we have, maybe it's not the false prophet, but we definitely have false teachers deceiving multitudes. They would rather believe a lie than the truth. They would rather trust in something that they can do than trust by faith in Jesus Christ that He can save us. They would rather do something. Baptism, church membership, accomplishment. If you do something in service to the Lord, then that'll maybe get me to heaven. The benefit is heaven. The need is to have your sins taken away. And we need to look to the Lord Jesus and Him alone for that. This deceiver, as the time grows to the last hour, as the minutes tick away and we get closer to that last hour, the devil has no idea when that last hour is. But he can read, and he knows what's going on, and he knows that his time is limited. And his desire is that he take multitudes with him. He wants to destroy this world. He wants to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy God. He wants to destroy every believer's life. He wants to destroy this world that God has created. He wants it for himself. He doesn't want any credit given unto God. Well, the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist, is placed into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and that will be their eternal home. Before anyone else joins them, it will be 1,000 years. It's going to be 1,000 years before anybody joins them. They're going to be down there by themselves. They will not come back up and be judged. They are down there for eternity. They are there. Now, as we look here at this 20th chapter now, and we know, of course, the birds of prey will come and clean up all the flesh that has been destroyed when this time comes here, this battle is fought. Next comes, and I saw an angel in verse 1 of chapter 20 come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. We are preparing for the great white throne judgment. That's what we're preparing for. We're coming to that time. But this one that has the keys to the bottomless pit. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation 1, 18. Because that verse of Scripture, and this is one of those places where man really messed up when he put the verses in. Because he should have not had 18 there. He should have taken one less verse and taken 17 and run it all the way down through to the end of death on verse 18. Because if you'll start there and begin verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Who possesses the keys of hell and death? Our Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, if we come back to Revelation 20, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, there will be no peace upon this earth as long as Satan is loosed. There's going to be peace on this earth for 1,000 years because Satan will be bound during that 1,000-year period. There will be no peace. It didn't last long, Jim. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He is the God of this present age. As long as that old devil is present, there's going to be trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We can even start with verse 3 to help us understand what we're to be doing. 2 Corinthians 3, 4, 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have a responsibility. We have a job to get the gospel out. If the gospel be hid, it's not hidden to those that are already born again. It's hid to those that are lost. And so if we do not take the gospel out, we are denying the opportunity of someone hearing that gospel that they could have salvation. The God of this world, being the old devil, Satan, we have quite an explanation here of who he is, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, all the same one. We need to realize that he blinds the minds. Blinds the minds. When you're talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus, and again, they don't want anything to do with it. I don't believe any of that. The old devil. The old devil got in their head. Convinced them we have to work for our salvation. Or that none of it's true. They have bought into the evolution. They have bought into the fact that there is nothing after death. Many people believe once the body is laid in the grave that that's it. This life is it. If you would just stop and think about how ridiculous a statement like that is, or how ridiculous evolution is. It takes real faith to believe evolution. I mean, that's the person that's got the faith. Because there is nothing that proves evolution. Not one thing. But the devil knows that if he tells a lie enough times to the world, it'll become a truth. And now evolution is no longer taught as theory, it's taught as fact. facts that have no basis, no bearing, no backbone, nothing. Nothing. I can't imagine that I would be foolish enough. Being a Christian, I've got a different heart and different mind, different eyes than a lost person. But I can't imagine anybody believing that lie. I just can't imagine that. How can anybody imagine that this thing just went kaboom and we have what we have? Or how can imagine that one little tiny amoeba started, just one little one, and it just started growing and growing and growing. And then all of a sudden, why, we have a planet. And then by that planet, somewhere along the line, if that's true, then my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad's a weed. Wouldn't that be right? Probably a cocklebur or something like that. How foolish. But you see, the devil has blinded their minds so that it doesn't seem to be foolishness to them. It seems to be a truth and facts. People that we think are very educated and have been schooled by some of the finest schools believe this lie, even though to us it's total, total foolishness. But we do know the Word of God tells us that if you don't believe in God, you are a fool. And a fool is one that is out of their mind. They don't have the right mind. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I thank the Lord that the gospel was brought to me, and that light got through that blinded mind of mine, and I trusted in Jesus. And that's the reason that we have the radio ministry. That's the reason for the website. That's the reason for the tracts that you hand out. That's the reason for the sword, the feature. Every part of this ministry is to take the light of the Lord Jesus out to this blinded world. To this blinded world. Now, we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that holds the key to the bottomless pit. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that now holds this great chain in his hand. We know that he is the God of this present age. We also, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is the prince and power of the air. Don't ever, ever think that Satan is not mighty, is not strong. He's not powerful. When he can deceive the majority of people that have ever lived upon this earth, when God is more powerful, yet he has accomplished to tell these lies, and all of us know people that have accepted those lies. They refuse salvation. They don't want it because they have trusted in some church that they attend to, or they have believe a total lie that we have evolved, or there's nothing and there's nothing after this life. So he is the God of this present age. He is the prince and power of the air. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. It's been said that if judgment doesn't come soon, if Jesus doesn't return soon, that he will need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God's timing is God's timing. We don't know how wicked it was in the days of Noah. We know that God chose to destroy everything except for two of each animals, and Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives. This world must have been wicked. What we know about Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot, we know was a very, very wicked time. God didn't see fit to destroy the world because he said he wouldn't. The next time it'll be by fire. But he did choose by fire to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley because of their wickedness. How wicked are we today in relationship to those days? We don't know. But we know that man today is more wicked than ever. This devil, he is listed by four different names here in the second verse. He laid hold on the dragon. Jesus took those chains, he has the key, and he lays hold on the dragon. And he continues in his description, the old serpent, and he continues, which is the devil, and he continues, which is Satan. So if you heard somebody say, that old dragon, you know he's talking about the devil or Satan. If you hear him talking about that old serpent, we know who he's talking about. Four names. Man has kind of come up with a description of what these four names possibly will stand for. The dragon is for his cruelty. The serpent is cunning and his guile, his treachery. The devil is the great deceiver, and Satan means the opponent, the enemy of Christ and his followers. So, dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, what a person. Not some spirit that floats around. He's real. Isn't it something how that's one of the lies the devil tells, that he doesn't exist. Even folks that go to church, they don't believe in a hell, even though the scripture describes it so well and tells so much about it. Nor do they believe in a literal devil. Don't believe in it. Most of those same folks say they're going to heaven. The book that tells them how to get to heaven is the same book that tells them about the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan, and the place where they're going to spend eternity. And yet they ignore it and reject it. We find here that there is a limit, a time period, bound him 1,000 years. And we're going to talk about here in just a minute, why didn't he bind him forever and ever and ever? Just going to be bound for 1,000 years. 6 times in this 20th chapter, we have 1,000 years. In the second verse, in the third verse, in the fourth verse, in the fifth verse, the sixth verse, and the seventh verse. Three times this 1,000 years pertains to Satan himself. 2 times concerning Christ and his reign. 1 time, it gives the exact time period between the judgment of the righteous and the judgment of the unrighteous. 1,000 years. Have you ever heard the scripture verse that speaks something about a day and 1,000 years and 1,000 years to the Lord's as one day, or one day is as 1,000 years? Well, let's see if we can find it, because I think we're going to find it in 2 Peter. So it wasn't just some old saying. It's something that we find in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read it. If after I've prepared the message on Saturday, if I wouldn't do anything, if I wouldn't look at it on Sunday morning, it would be shorter. Because I just keep adding more verses of Scripture when we look things like this up. When I read them, I got to see just a little bit more. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? Look at these verses. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and in the water, whereby the world that water perished. See, we got the flood, we got the heavens and the earth, which are in word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When a lost person tells you Jesus isn't coming again, you say, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And they say, no. Then say, you be very thankful He hasn't come. And trust in Jesus today. Because that last verse of Scripture tells us why He hasn't come. Because He is giving those. You find folks, I did a funeral here a little while back. The man was 100 years old. 100 years old. And to my knowledge, he died without Christ. How patient is our God? How patient. 100 years. Anybody over 70s on borrowed time when it comes to salvation. And you know Jesus, we're ready to go. You don't know Jesus, you're tempting God more than ever as you wait day after day. Isn't that something that is in the Word of God? Don't be ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, if we take that to mind, and you've heard me talk about it, others here have talked about it, you've probably heard other preachers talking about it, that we've got to be close to the end time, because the world as we know it, the universe as we know it, is 6,000 years old, contrary to the millions of years that some say. It's 6,000 years old. 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus, 2,000 years afterwards. Do we know the exact day that God spoke it into existence? It started on the first day. It took Him 6 days. And it's taking Him 6,000 years to do it? No. 6 literal days. Morning and night. Morning and night. See, the Word of God, some we need to understand, is not literal. Others is very literal. And when it comes to the creation, morning and night. And so we know that God created this in 6 days. And at the same time, we know that if you take one day per 1,000 years, we're into that sixth day, aren't we? we're into that sixth day. And on the seventh day, he rested. On the seventh day, he rested. That was very weak. On the seventh day, he... Thank you. On the seventh day, he rested. He rested from what? His labor. He rested from his labor. We have been laboring. Mankind has been laboring for 6,000 years. Laboring under the burden of sin. Under the curse of sin. We have been laboring for 6,000 years. And being a day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as one day. And seventh day, a day of rest. And what we're doing right here is we are bounding Satan. And he has had a seal put on it so he can't get out. There's going to be 1,000 years that he's going to be absent from this earth. 1,000 years. So that day of rest, that 1,000 years of peace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And that word rest means Sabbath. There remains a rest. It says, after that. I have that circled in mine. After that. And I've jumped that far because it's after the destruction of Babylon. It's after the marriage of the Lamb. And then after that, he is loosed for a season. And the first question that a normal person would ask, and that is, why? Why? Israel, during the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and plants his feet upon this earth. Victory is won, and he brings his kingdom. We come with him, and we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years upon this earth. Those that were saved during the tribulation period, those were saved during the tribulation period, will walk right in to the millennial reign of Christ. They'll walk right in. They're still of the flesh. The only difference during that 1,000 years from today is Satan is bound. How would you like to never be tempted? The tempter's gone. No one during that 1,000 years dare say the devil caused me to do that. Devil had me do it. The old flesh, it's still there. The old sin is still there. But the tempter is gone. The devil's gone. We're not sure what that is going to be like. We'll find out. But we know with the tempter bound and with Jesus on his throne here, ruling with a rod of iron. But this is going to be a place of peace. A place of peace for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, millions will be born to those that walked in to the millennial reign of Christ. They will repopulate this earth. So it's going to start as it did in the original creation, somewhat different because Adam and Eve were perfect, and yet they set out to populate the earth. They knew God. They were born again. And yet, almost instantly, they begin with one of their sons to be an unbeliever. All that go into the millennial reign of Christ, all that enter in there, will be born again. So surely all will be saved all through that time with the tempter gone. But the Scripture tells us that that's not true at all. That when Satan is loosed at the end, multitudes of millions will be deceived by him. Deceived by him. They will come and they will build houses and they will build businesses. They will multiply by the millions. And at the end of this millennial reign, being never tempted will be tempted. If God did not permit them to be tested, tempted, as was Adam and Eve, as you and I, we've all been tempted. How did we do? Not very well. Even though this tempter be gone, and now he's loosed, and he is doing everything he can do to bring again the kingdom of God to an end. The devil never quits. We've talked about, he never quits. He's been bound for 1,000 years. He sees that those chains is upon him. He's bound for 1,000 years, and yet as soon as he comes back out, he goes right back to his same old business. Deceiving, lying, tricking, getting everybody he can to follow him, and multitudes fall. Why is he loosed for a season? Because God is no respecter of persons. Every one of us have the same opportunity to serve him. For 1,000 years, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. You will serve Jesus. But the time will come that it's their time of whosoever. They're either going to trust in the devil or they're going to trust and serve God. God gives them a choice. And sad to say, multitudes, even though being Jesus being here on earth for 1,000 years, multitudes will follow after the great tempter, the devil. Adam was tempted. Eve was tempted. Jesus was tempted. We're not sure how long he's going to be loosed. It says for a short season. But what there's going to be is just one last desperate attempt to overthrow God's throne and exalt himself up to that level. We're going to read from Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, and we will close with that and begin there next week. Isaiah 14, I want you, as we did with 1 Peter, I want you to see that, but I sure want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the heaven to the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? He gets down there and they take a look at him. Who are you? You're nothing. You're nothing. I will. And the world picks up on that, and that's where the original disease came from, the I, me, my disease. I will. Satan's desire, Satan's way, Satan's drive, power, whatever you want to call it, never changes. He wants to destroy God and His kingdom and all that follow with Him. And He'll do it however He can. He's loose for a season. And that is the saddest thing to see the multitudes that follow. Multitudes that follow. Let's close with prayer. Father, we know that the only thing Satan can offer is this world, is the things of this world. And so he has to make it attractive to us. We know, Father, why that automobiles change every year, houses change every year, and little things that we think we have to own change a little bit every year, clothes change. No devil has to get us to fall in love with this world. To love this world more than we love our God. And so he just keeps showing us. Worked with Eve. Looks good. Tastes good. Feels good. Everything good. That'll work again. He changes the plan ever so slightly, comes back again. Father, we know that the devil has, through his deception of Adam and Eve and then on to the lies that he tells and the flesh, that multitudes, millions and millions have died and are in the place of torment today because of his doing and his ways. We would surely think when Jesus would come and rule and reign for 1,000 years that they would see the power and the strength of God and bow down to him and worship him and praise him. And yet millions once again fall into that trap of the devil. Father, please have us be strong messengers of the gospel, telling people how to be saved, praying that light somehow can get into that dark old heart and begin to light it up, and they will see the light and be saved. Thank you, Father, for this word today. Thank you for this family that's come to hear it. Touch every heart. Lost, bring them to the cross. The saved, grow us, dear Lord. Make us stronger. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.